G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kayfabe?
Blue Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Matt Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome, everyone, to the longest-running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. Hope you all went out last weekend and enjoyed local pro wrestling. I know I did, as my role is Todd Eastman, the owner of Venom Pro Wrestling currently. And, did they not like your boy, Toddy? I had stuff thrown at me. I had people threaten my life. It's a good fun being a heel, but it's all part of the job, I guess. Thank God for security. What happened during that show? I'm just trying to think of something here. I was got to second Jackson Cross in the main event against Lynx, and I'll tell you what, Lynx really did impress me. It's been a while since I've actually got to see a full match of Lynx, but just being out there ringside and watching him work, really impressed with the kid. His change of levels in a match, and if you know what I'm talking about, then you know what I'm talking about. Really did impress me, and I even let him know that at the end of the show, because it was just something that's I like seeing the maturation of guys, and he definitely did show that. Also on that show, Street Revolution back together, Renegade and Lynx, guy we just mentioned, back together. Really glad to see that, because when they were running, one of the best tag teams in Queensland, and I guess, I can't see it changing. So they will definitely be back and in form. I think this weekend they're actually wrestling in New Valhalla. So if you're in Queensland, go and check them out at New Valhalla Wrestling. We'll have that up later on in the show in where the action is. But speaking of tag teams, my guest for this week is not only one of the best wrestlers going around the country, has been for the last near on 10 years, he is also one half of the EPW Tag Team Champions, Damian Slater. He is with Marcus Pitt, of course, at the Untouchable. They've got a big match this weekend against the Street Gang Hooligans at EPW Reawakening. Again, we'll talk about that more in where the action is. But we had a really good chat. It was I hadn't talked to the guy for a fair while, and just caught up on a lot of stuff, and also interested to see how he goes with the training at the EPW Academy. And also from his stint in the Cruiserweight Classic and how he feels about 205 Live. Anyway, we'll get to the interview, because you don't want to hear me talking about the interview. You want to hear the actual interview. And that's right here on Wrestle Radio Australia.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
I'm joined today by one of the best wrestlers for near on the last 10 years in Australia. Damian Slater, how are you, mate?
Good afternoon, Todd. I'm doing fantastic. You're making me feel old.
I know. I just realised as I was saying it.
Remind me of my age. Please do not do that.
It was your fault, because you put up the whole thing of on your Instagram today about all the reawakenings you've been through.
Yeah, I tend to get a bit sentimental with things like that, and that's when I realised that I have been in the game for quite a long time, but I mean, I started young, so I'm only 31 now. I'll clutch on to that age for as long as I can.
I've been 31 for a good 12 years, so...
Yeah.
You're all right. You moved not long ago from Adelaide over to Perth. What's the big difference in those two sort of maybe training philosophies, or... You know what I mean? Because there are two real powerhouses in Australian wrestling. I mean, everyone thinks of Melbourne as being the powerhouse, but really Perth and Adelaide are right up there. What's the comparables and sort of stuff like that?
I guess we both have a common link. Perth, the original Perth guys in EPW were trained by Cole Devaney in Adelaide. That's where I was originally trained, and where people like Hartley Jackson and Havoc came from as well. Mm-hmm. So I feel like a lot of our philosophies are the same in the way we train, the way we teach professionalism and discipline and respect and all the rest. So there would definitely be more of similarities than differences. The other thing is I was a I was one of the head trainers at the Wrestle Rampage Dojo in Adelaide before moving over, and now I'm the head trainer at EPW's school in Perth. So I guess with that, I bring a lot of my own philosophies that I do have. So I've kept training quite similar, but I did notice that the guys had they had a good grasp of what I was putting out there. So obviously they had that similar background. For anyone who knows the history of Perth wrestling, there was no Perth wrestling for many years, and a group of guys in the early 2000s travelled to Adelaide and trained for about a month straight with Cole at the Monster Factory where I grew up. So, yeah, we both come from the same background.
Mm. And just let everyone know what it was like training, training with Cole Devaney, because he was the old school wrestler. He was the OG, really, of Adelaide professional wrestling, wasn't he?
He was. I think the best way to sum it up is just to tell stories. And I've got countless stories of Cole. I remember my second training session ever, and our head trainer was Tony Stone at the time. And we were doing hip tosses or something, and then Cole just walks up to me and says, you know, oh, why don't you just mouth off at Tony? Like, you know, it's just kind of like, on the sly, he's like, you know, just mouth off at him. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, I'm 15 and this grizzled old vet's telling me to have a go at my trainer. And they're kind of, you know, he's the head trainer and Tony's the active trainer. And he's like, if you don't mouth off, then, you know, I'm gonna whatever, you know, put you in one of his dreaded submission holds or something. He's like, just have a go at him, you know, do it. And I was more fearful of Cole than anyone else. So I ended up doing it, and Tony pulled me into the ring, and I think he hip tossed me for about 2 or 3 minutes straight. I remember, you know, it does sound like a bit of bullying, but you know, a lot of it was just kind of earning respect and making sure that you wanted to be there and you weren't just there for the wrong reasons. And I remember pulling myself off the mat after 3 minutes, and I glanced over at Cole, and he kind of like smiled and gave me a nod. And to me, that was about as good an affirmation as you can get. So that story sums up my early training. I remember we'd be standing in the ring waiting for our next turn to come, you know, doing a move or practicing a bump or whatever, and Cole would pick the legs off our hairs, the hairs off our legs. He'd come around and he'd be like a human tweezer, just ripping hairs out as we went. So we always knew to have one eye on Cole, one eye on the ring. It was an interesting time, but it certainly taught me respect, and the discipline that I learned in that time, I certainly attribute to my best qualities and the qualities I try to bring out of my students.
Mm. And it is hard today, really, trying to bring almost those philosophies from the old school into the new school, because you have so much of that fearing of people being, like, accusing you of bullying or...
Yeah.
But yeah, it must be such a tightrope to walk when it comes to that sort of thing.
It is. And personally, I feel like everyone has a different way they respond, and that's the difference. And mm-hmm. I guess in those early days, some of us stuck around, but I'm sure there were countless trainees who came up with me who, one or two sessions in, decided this isn't for me and they didn't want to be treated that way. For me, I always responded better to being pushed to the absolute limit. And, you know, you can call it bullying or whatever, but that honestly, that's what worked best for me. And if I had a trainer who was super relaxed and kind of left it on me to push myself, I know that my type of personality would not have prospered. So look, it's tough. Tryouts in everywhere, really, in EPW, Wrestle Rampage, have kind of gone away from being a brutal experience where we're trying to weed out people who don't want to be there more than anything. And now they've just become almost like a bit of a come and try, like an open day where you can, it's still tough. They do struggle. We still get people, you know, running over to the bin to have a cheeky vom, but it's more of a come and try day. No one's getting pushed beyond their limits. And I see the merit in both aspects. I try to fall somewhere in between. And I feel like if I have someone who can handle it and can be pushed and will respond accordingly, then I'll push them hard and I'll give them a bit of old school discipline. But if I can sense that someone can't quite handle that kind of mentoring, then yeah, I'll back off. It's, you know, and I'm a, my, by trade, I'm a school teacher. So I am well aware of how to, you know, how to treat different personalities differently.
Yeah, that annoys me. As someone who did my tryout with Riot City with Maddie and Cree and that, the come and try aspect annoys me.
Yeah, exactly.
Who have you got at the EPW Academy at the moment that you can see that in a few years is going to be someone that's really stands out in Australian wrestling?
I would say the current crew who are just making their debut now or are about to are some of the most promising talent I've ever seen in my 15 years. It's kind of on them to see whether they do fulfill that kind of potential, but yep. One name that definitely stands out is Tippaday, who's one of the task force. So he's kind of been in a bit of a sidekick role. He plays the bodyguard of Taylor King, and he gets in there every now and then. But I mean, in terms of natural talent and hard work and just the desire to make it, I have scarcely seen anyone in his league. On top of that, there are a few others. There's actually a few members of a new crew called the Children, Tyler Jacobs crew. So they are just coming up. They haven't really made their in-ring debuts. They're again more of a sidekick kind of role at the moment, but all of those guys have a lot of promise and potential. So I'm very keen to see where the next few years lie. And I feel like EPW has kind of had the same crew for a long time, not many new guys coming up. And if they did, they weren't really in there for long. And I feel like this new crop of talent is really going to give the older talent a run for their money and hopefully lift their game as well. I feel like competition's good for everyone.
Yeah, that's right. And even for the fans, because if they're there for month after month and you're seeing sort of the same matches over and over again,
exactly,
it does really start to get stale for the fans as well. And also for you guys, working the same people, even though you might like working so-and-so over and over again, you always want to get in there with someone different and see what that chemistry is like, don't you?
100%. I feel like, wrestling is an art form, and much like in mixed martial arts or different sports, different styles make fights. And if you're wrestling the same person all the time, you're always getting the same type of match. So yeah, I'm all about trying to get in there with everyone, not only at training, but I request matches, and I always want to face the new crop of talent. So yeah, it's good for everyone, fans and wrestlers alike.
So are you focusing more on tag teams nowadays, or are you still, the heart's still in the singles, or whatever comes up is your take?
The whole reason I'm in a tag team right now was because I was sick of singles wrestling. Yeah. Simple as that. And it was something that built up over a long time. And I put a lot of thought into how we would be as a team and who I would pick to be my partner and whatever. But I was always pushed as a singles guy. And there were a few instances over my career when I got put in the tag team, and for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. And I'd always get put back in singles, I guess. Especially in Adelaide, there weren't many experienced people, so we needed a main event. And you know, as cool as tag team wrestling is, it's never really had that main event kind of aura. It's always been the singles championship matches that lead the top of the card. So I was always forced back into that spot, and it just got to the point where I just felt like it was stale. I'd wrestled everyone I wanted to wrestle, and I'd done everything I needed to do, and I just wanted a new challenge. So yeah, tag team was something I've pushed towards, and I'll still wrestle singles where I can. And I find now that I'm not wrestling singles as often, when I go back to it, I feel really out of my element, which is good, because I always want to be outside my comfort zone. So yeah, I enjoy mixing it up. It seems like every promotion books me differently. So yeah, it's a fun challenge either way.
Yeah. Cause, I can't remember right now. In Adelaide, are you face or heel now? I can't rightly remember.
In Adelaide?
Yeah.
It's the only place where I am a hometown hero. So
I think they tried to make you heel, and they just wouldn't be.
No matter what I did in Adelaide, they seemed to want to like me. So no matter how despicable I was, couldn't seem to get the hatred out of the punters. So I'm a baby face in Adelaide, but everywhere else, for some reason, they don't like me, so go figure.
which style do you prefer working? I mean,
probably not a good thing, but in ring, I actually much prefer wrestling as a babyface. I find it naturally easier for me to not only get the sympathy or get a bit of emotion out of the fans, but I also feel like a lot of my moveset caters for getting a bit of a pop. So, yeah, once I get in the ring, babyface, but outside of the ring, I hate being a babyface. I find it like just coming to the ring, entering, showing character, I find it so much easier just to be a heel. I started as a heel when I was 15. I was, most people came in as all the teenagers I was coming up with, they all came in as these plucky underdog teenage baby faces, but I was the one who was like, nah, I want people to hate me. So yeah, it's probably a bit of a dilemma that I've struggled with, is that I wrestle better, and I've been trying to find my in-ring as a heel, and I feel like I'm getting there, but yeah, I think in this day and age, most people are kind of 50-50. They're very neutral, and yeah. You know, people who are going out there and raking eyes and doing dirty stuff are getting cheered for it. So, yeah, we're definitely in the twilight zone at the moment. It's a bit of a strange land.
Yeah, I'm like, I've got that. I guess the luck that being a manager is naturally being inclined to being booed. So it doesn't matter what I do; it's hard for me to get a pop if I wanted to.
Of course. No, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. You were in the first Cruiserweight Classic over in the WWE, and then now with 205 Live, is that something that you really, is that sort of burn, does it burn inside of you that you haven't been sort of looked at or brought over again for that? Because in all essence, like, you're in 205 Live, you did the match with Tajiri, it was a great match, and then we never really heard anything more of it when you see all the other guys, and I assume it's mainly because all those other guys were mostly North American based. But is that something that sort of burns that you really want to get back there to prove to those guys, or?
I'd be lying if I said it didn't for a little. Yeah. I'm at the point now where it's, you know, it is what it is. Coming into the Cruiserweight Classic, I was told that to not get my hopes up for anything further. They didn't know what was going to come from it. 205 wasn't a thing yet. I just got told, have fun, do your best. We have a lot of Aussies here at the moment, so that's another kind of, I guess you could call it, a detriment. So going in, I didn't go in expecting anything. In fact, I went in expecting this is going to be one and done, which obviously it was. But after the response I got, and even from them, you know, from the WWE, they seemed super positive on my match and how I handled myself and that kind of thing. Yep. I felt like there was a chance and a good chance for a while. And I still keep in contact with them to this day, not as much as I did in the months afterwards, but I felt like, you know, this may go somewhere, and it kind of just petered out to nothing, which is very common in wrestling for anyone who's been around long enough and done enough things. It just is what it is. And I guess the sucky part is you never really know why, and you don't get that feedback.
And it could it would be nothing that you've done as well. It could just be like the fact we've got so many Aussies now, which is a great thing, but also a shitty thing.
Look, it makes sense. I completely understand that. If that's the reason, then that's the reason. That's just, it's a business. And if you only want a certain amount of people from different countries, and so be it. It would be nice just to have feedback to know, okay, here's what I have to work on.
Mm-hmm.
The feedback I got was all positive, 100% positive from everyone. So yeah, it's wrestling.
Yeah.
I've never expected anything. I learned very early on that if you expect a lot, you're going to get burnt out quickly. So I just go into things thinking that I'm going to do my best, and whatever happens, happens. Obviously, after that, I had a pretty good opportunity with New Japan, and the Australian scene started to boom. So, look, I'm happy just doing what I do. I feel like when I say that, a lot of people look at that and think that I'm not ambitious, but that's just, it's not the case at all. I'm always going to put 100% into my craft that I have since day one. And,
yep.
And I feel like when you do that and you stay consistent and you put yourself out there, then opportunities will come if they were meant to be. And I've done exactly that. So, you know, if it happens, it happens. If something else takes off and I can be a part of that, fantastic. For me, I just want to be a pro wrestler and I want to do it as often as possible.
Yeah, and luckily in the world of wrestling at the moment, the world is shrinking when we're getting a lot of the independent international stars coming over to work. I mean, you've got Marty Scurll now in November for World Series Wrestling. That's got to be something that you're sort of really looking forward to, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I love wrestling with those kind of talent, and it's not just because of exposure or anything like that. It's just that I feel like they bring another level to their game that I can match. Mm-hmm. It's also good to
be able to test yourself to see where you are in that area.
Exactly. And this, you know, you should always strive to be someone who can bring up people underneath you, but at the same time, I think you should also strive to meet people who are above you. And I feel like opportunities like this are an opportunity not only to get noticed by other talent who are making waves in the world, but you know, these kind of shows draw fans who wouldn't come to an EPW show or a Wrestle Rampage show. So I love the challenge of having someone who's never seen me before go, you know, holy crap, this dude is as good as these superstars who we came to see. And that's, to me, that's the most motivating thing for wrestling for me at the moment. That's what I like to do.
Yeah, well, that's basically what happened to really help guys like Robbie Eagles. Is that they've seen those and gone, geez, that Robbie Eagles guy's freaking awesome. We should get him over here and have him. Do you know what that sort of deal?
Absolutely.
You're in TMDK at the moment. For a while there, they were the biggest sort of name going around the Australian scene, I guess, and that sort of died off a bit. But now you've done a sort of something with PWA or something. PWA is coming up, I hear, or.
We had PWA last weekend. Mm. I think it was last weekend. The Coliseum tournament, and we decided to bring a new member into the crew, and bring a new soldier into the front, and that was Mikey Broderick. Who, I mean, for you know, inside and outside of wrestling, Mikey's been someone who's been a good friend of ours for many years, especially myself and Marcus Pitt, and that just comes from always being around the same circles. He was at the forefront of PWA in Sydney for many years, and if anyone remembers his run in the Fitness Maniacs, he was, for a while there, he was traveling all over Australia. He wrestled in Japan on numerous occasions for Zero One and for other companies in Japan. So he's someone who has always flown under the radar, but if you know, for my book, I feel like he's the most underrated talent in the country. And at the moment, he's making a comeback, and he's starting to put more into this, and we felt like he was a perfect fit for the crew now that a lot of our guys are spreading their wings, which it's a good thing. We always want to see, you know, our mates prosper in wrestling, and it's so good to see TM61 killing it, and Sexton's overseas, and Hartley Jackson's just absolutely killing it overseas as well, and, you know, Jonah Rock's traveling, and Slex is traveling, and that's a good thing, but yeah, as a group, it's kind of separated us, and we haven't been able to be together as many times. I mean, the last time we really had a proper crew together was the New Japan tour. And then after that, we're off in separate directions. So, yeah, we're hoping by bringing Mikey into the crew, we can have a presence in Sydney and start to show that teamwork that got us the name in the first place.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate that Mikey's let himself go so much. I mean, jeez.
Don't say that around.
Oh,
no. he will shank you for that comment.
Don't insult
the physique of Mikey.
he was on the list for the card because I was at the MCW show, and a couple of guys we hadn't seen Mikey before, and they said, "Oh, who is this dude?" I said, "You watch when he comes out, mate. The dude looks like he's chiseled out of granite." And basically, I said because I hadn't seen what he looked like. I said it'd be interesting to see what he's looked like since he's had his sort of time off. And then when he walked out, I went, "Holy shit!"
And the best part is, this isn't even his best physique. Like he's a machine. He's just that guy who he'll fly under the radar, he'll take time off, and he'll come back looking better than ever. And, you know, he goes off and whatever he does, he kills it. He's just an absolute specimen. And he's not just a body guy. Like, in terms of charisma, character, personality, like, honestly, when we had our first WWE tryout in 2014 in Melbourne, he was the one guy that I said, he's going to get signed. And I was severely shocked when he didn't. And unfortunately, I think he was set to have another one, but he'd broken his arm just beforehand. But, you know, he's world-class talent, and I feel like you can put him on TV tomorrow and he's going to do well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what he brings to the crew.
Yeah, even in that short match that he was in, the three-way, he almost stole the show in that match just because of how entertaining he was.
Exactly. No, he's definitely a level above, and that's how we choose. I'm the newest. Before Mikey, I'm the newest member, so I'm not going to throw weight around. But you know, that's how the crew tends to choose their guys, and I feel like we've got an elite stable, so to speak.
Mm. You're on that New Horizons show yourself. What was that What was that atmosphere like being in the ring for that? Because you were the opening match as well, so that's a hell of a place to be put in, where you've got to set the tone for the rest of the night.
Oh yeah, it's the best place to be for me. That's exactly where I wanted to be. Honestly, without a doubt, by far the best reaction I've ever heard in my life. It was just, I remember I was standing backstage, and our entrance music has about a 10-second lead in where there's kind of nothing on the screen, and then our pictures pop up. So my name and picture pops up, and then Marcus Pitt's name pops up. And we were standing there backstage, and our music hit, and as we expected, you know, being heels and not being around regularly, there wasn't much of a reaction. And then we saw our pictures pop up on the screen, and the collective roar, like, just gave us goosebumps. Like, we just looked at each other like, this is ridiculous. Yeah, that's something that I understand that, you know, that's a one-of-a-kind weekend. You got fans from around the country, from around New Zealand, and everyone's kind of coming into this one show. But if we can get to that level, you know, in all the major promotions in Australia, that's what I strive for. That's that kind of response and emotional connection. And, I mean, look, if you watch the show, that crowd was there for like 3.5 hours, and then, you know, Robbie Eagles and Gino Gambino came out for the main event, and you could just sense how exhausted they were, and crowd a little bit subdued. But then in that final stretch, when Robbie Eagles looked like he was going to win the title, that was the biggest pop of the show. And that's 3.5 hours deep into a long night that had everything, 9 matches.
Yeah.
That's special. That's a special moment. So yeah, I think that's what we definitely strive for.
Mm. And hopefully this Saturday night at Reawakening, you'll get something like that. You've got the EPW tag titles on the line in a ladder match against the Street Gang Hooligans. Now, you guys have been in like a year-long feud with this team, which is so rare nowadays in professional wrestling. Just tell me a bit about this feud with the Hooligans.
It's been physically and emotionally draining. It's probably closer to a year and a half. So this was something at the beginning of last year when I decided that I wanted to be in a tag team and start to push that. This is something that kind of spawned from that idea. And we're always told to pitch our ideas and, you know, whatever we want to do, who do you want to wrestle? Who do you think you'd pair up well with? And at the start of the year, I'd been watching a lot of NXT tag stuff because the Revival and American Alpha and DIY had really started to bring tag wrestling back. So I was watching that and I thought, you know what, I'm done with singles stuff. I don't feel like there's much else I can do. I want to form a tag team. And straight away, Marcus Pitt was a non-negotiable. He's been my best mate for years, and he was kind of stuck in a bit of a limbo, and he was a babyface at the time. So we came out with this idea, this long, extensive idea that would eventually bring us together. And we handpicked our opponents to be Alex Kingston and Logan Gray, who, again, two singles guys who have been incredible in EPW but haven't quite got the praise interstate and overseas like they should have. So we knew that of any match we could have, those two would be our ultimate opponents. They weren't a team at the time either. So we ran this, I guess you say it was a year-long story last year to bring us all together to reawakening last year. And we went all out, and I feel like the match we had was probably my favourite match I've ever had. It was just a special moment, and I think we really captured lightning in a bottle. So from there, being that it was successful, the idea came to maybe work towards a rematch at this year's reawakening. We had a three stages of hell match earlier in the year that wasn't something we really wanted to do. It was actually more a desperation move. We needed something for a big main event. But after that, we went our separate ways, and the Untouchables went off and we won the tag belts, and Hooligans did their own thing and had a little feud. So for me, it was the feud and the rivalry that I love. When you see two teams or two wrestlers who go in separate directions and then everything comes full circle and they meet again at the end, but both are more evolved and both have more behind them. So that's where we see ourselves now. We haven't really interacted with these guys all year, and now this time the titles are on the line, and it's a ladder match, which for anyone who saw our three stages of hell, this is dangerous. not safe at all. Not safe at all.
Yeah. So, from what I hear, tickets are absolutely flying out the door for this show as well.
Yeah. I know premium tickets have sold out. I think there's still quite a few tickets left, but the week of reawakening is when they tend to start to really fly. So if they have already sold a lot, then yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a sellout. So yeah, I'd just recommend anyone in Perth, don't do the Perth thing and leave it to the last minute like we always do.
I think that's an Australian thing. That's such just an Australian thing. They just, pre-sales just don't happen. Except maybe Melbourne.
It was an Adelaide thing. It was an Adelaide thing, and it's definitely a Perth thing as well. I feel like the East Coast are a bit more on top of things, but yeah, walk-ups are all the rage, south and west. So that's the one thing I suggest is don't leave it to the last minute. We've gone to a smaller venue now. It's probably, I think capacity is around 650. Our previous venue was probably more up at 800 or more, but we're a smaller venue. It's a better venue, better area. Production is completely trumps our old venue. So yeah, don't go in there expecting to walk up and get a ticket. This is, for my books, I think this is every chance of selling out, and this is the one show you just don't want to miss.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Damien Slater, I've always been a massive fan of yours, and it was an absolute privilege for as short a time as I got to work with you in Adelaide a few years ago.
Good fun.
And ruin a match for you. But thanks so much for coming on to the show today, mate. If people want to catch up and follow you on their socials, how can they do that?
I'm all over it. If you look up Damien Slater, Damien with an A, you should find me on most different forms, Twitter, Facebook, under D Slats on Instagram. I'm sure you can find me. Make sure to keep supporting, you know, your local promotions. EPW Perth, we have Reawakening this Saturday night. Massive event at Claremont Showgrounds, Gate 1 Theatre. The card is phenomenal.
Yes.
Perhaps one of, if not the best card I've seen in many years. And I feel like this is a show that's going to blow us away, blow everyone away, and really put us on that same level that MCW and PWA have really been reaching this year. So yeah, man, check it out and just keep supporting Australian wrestling. We can't do it without the fans, and that, as cliche as that sounds, it is 100% the case when, you know, we're in the most isolated country and most isolated city on the planet. So be vocal, be proud, and yeah, check us out.
See, it's not just me that says this every week, so there you go. Damien Slater, thank you so much for joining me, mate.
No problems, it's a pleasure.
Some people say having an opinion is like having a penis. It's really great for you, but you shouldn't share it around. That's exactly what we don't do. We share it all about the internet. And in fact, we advertise it on other people's podcasts so that they can go and enjoy it as well. Am I talking about penises, or am I talking about opinions on film? To find out, you'll have to go to our website, secondtakepodcast.com, or find Second Take Podcast on your podcatcher of choice.
Now time to find out where the action is this weekend. In Victoria on Saturday night, PCW has their ignition show at the Southeastern Entertainment Centre. Tickets are $15 and are available at pcw.com.au. Get up there and support them in that great venue. The Southeastern Entertainment Centre is also where World Series Wrestling hold their shows when they hit Melbourne. Great purpose-built venue for professional wrestling. So get out there and support PCW this weekend in Victoria. In New South Wales, Saturday the 3rd of November, Australian Pro Wrestling Gym presents is at Bathurst Panthers. The tickets are $15 and available at the door. There's no FPOS, so bring your cash along, guys. Doors open at 6:30 and the show starts at 7. It's a family-friendly event. Get out there and support the Australian Pro Wrestling Gym in Bathurst. In WA, it's all happening this weekend. All Action Wrestling presents live pro wrestling at the Baldivis Rec Centre, 50 Road, Baldivis. Tickets for that one are available at aawperth.com. Now, I've heard that back in the day, AAW didn't exactly have the most stellar reputation, but I believe from all reports I'm hearing, all that is sort of changing. So if you're not going to EPW, go and check out, or if you're in even Baldivis, see, I have no idea what the landscape of Perth is like, how close all that sort of stuff is. But if you're in the area, go and check out AAW this weekend in Perth. Also in Perth, of course, my guest this week, Damian Slater, will be at EPW Reawakening 17. That is at Gate 1, Claremont Showgrounds. Tickets for that one at showtickets.com.au. Of course, the main event for that one is a ladder match for the EPW Tag Team titles. Damian Slater and Marcus Pitt, the Untouchables, are taking on Alex Kingston and Logan Gray, the Street Gang Hooligans. That's going to be a massive main event. End of a trilogy for those two teams. And from what I've seen, they will pull out all the stops. It's going to be an unbelievable main event. Tickets for that one are really selling quick, so get in there if you can and get tickets. Also on the card, EPW champion Gavin McGavin defends his title against the EPW Coastal champion Big Rig Scotty Ryan. Plus, Jonah Rock is on the card as well, and much, much more. Again, showtickets.com.au or hit up the EPW Facebook page for the ticketing links for that one. Get out there and support professional wrestling in Perth this weekend. In Adelaide, PWSA Friday Night Fights say goodbye to the PWSA Arena. That is in PWSA Arena. Well, that is, of course, at the PWSA Arena in Paraka. Tickets are only available at the door for that one. Good to see PWSA branching out from the arena and going out to other locales around the state. Always good to see people reaching out and searching out amongst the state and trying to grow their fan base, because if you're going to stay in the one place, while it's good being in the one place, you've got a base of where people can go every week. If you're not in sort of up north, I guess it's hard to grow that. It's hard to grow people from the south to come up for professional wrestling in Adelaide, and hopefully they get out to more places around the state and get out to more people, and you all can go out and support local pro wrestling in South Australia. And finally, in Queensland, I will be at New Valhalla Wrestling Ragnarok at the Hamblin Harris Pavilion at the Mount Gravatt Showgrounds. My boy Jake Nova is taking on Adonis, so we're going to see what that's like. I hear he's very touchy-feely, so I'm not all that keen on getting into that one with Adonis. But also on that card, the champion Warship will be taking on Mad Dog and Dallas Summers for the New Valhalla title. Don't forget that Jake Nova and I do have this little horn thingy, which is like a money in the bag. It's a big, like, Nordic, whatever it's called, like, Viking name for a horn. Basically, it's a money in the bank thing. And if we see our chance, we will cash that in and we will take home the New Valhalla Championship this weekend. So get out there and see that. Also on the card, Vixen against Michelle K. Haslock in the Valkyries division. Awesome to see a new couple of women pro wrestlers coming up to Queensland and showing off their wares. Also on the card, Tim Cade, Matt Hayter, Street Revolution have their comeback, and much, much more. Doors for that one are at 6:30. Show starts at 7. You can get your tickets at stickytickets.com.au. Go out there and support professional wrestling in Queensland. Come out and say hi to me. Come out and tell me how much you love the show or how much you hate the show or who you want to hear on the show. Anyone, any reviews or comments are very welcome. Also, any promotions that want their shows mentioned on here, where the action is, hit us up on our Facebook or email me at WrestleRadioAustraliaTodd@gmail.com and we'll mention you on an upcoming episode or even book me. I'll definitely mention it on the show. So, and that is where the action is this weekend. And that will do it for this episode of Wrestle Radio Australia. Once again, big thanks to my guest, Damien Slater. If you're in Perth, get out to Reawakening and check out that main event. It is going to be absolutely amazing. I wish I was in Perth this weekend so I could go and see. But I'm not. I'll be at New Valhalla. So if you're in Queensland, go and check that show out and come and say hi to me. If you haven't already, though, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free and you can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast from. I think we're even on iHeartRadio now, so there you go. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears. Share the show and spread the word like we spread the word about professional wrestling in this country. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search up WRA or Wrestle Radio Australia, and on Twitter and Instagram at Wrestle Radio AU, or me personally at Beast Eastman. Also, we have the WRA shirts on Redbubble. Just go to redbubble.com, search out Wrestle Radio Australia. All proceeds going from the sale of these t-shirts go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life. They are two charities that really do help with helping with men's health, and especially coming up on Movember. Perfect time to do it. Before the end of the month, all proceeds from the sale of these shirts will go to these two charities because they do really do good help, good work when it comes to men's health. And as I mentioned on every show, and we did a special about it called Wrestling With Your Demons. Jesus, I'm having a fun time today. We did an episode on that not too long ago that's been very, very well received. And that it makes me so proud that has happened. And, like I said before, men's health, a massive, massive problem in Australia. 6.4 men a week, or a day, sorry. Is it a day? I don't even know now. I've been saying it for so long. But they take their own lives, and that is something that we just cannot stand for, and something we really do have to try and prevent. And Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life do that. And if we can help in any way by the sale of these shirts, the profits from the sale of these shirts, I would be very, very happy to try and help that out. Promoland, to send it home. I didn't mention it at the top of the show, and that's because I was saving it for right now. Big, massive, huge congratulations to Tony Storm for winning the Mae Young Classic at Evolution this week in the WWE. I know we don't cover the WWE that often, but we will cover it when it comes to Australian workers in that promotion. And Tony Storm, from the Gold Coast, took out the Mae Young Classic. And here's a quick promo from Evolution after she won the Classic. And that'll do us for this week right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm Todd Eastman. We'll see you next week, guys.
Tony Storm, congratulations. You're the 2018 Mae Young Classic winner. You said in past interviews that you've been wrestling since you were 13 years old and that your mother used to sell hot dogs for you to do what you love. And now you're standing here, right now. What is this moment like?
To be honest, I have no idea what my life is right now. I don't know what's happening, but all I know is my dream is coming true, and I'm on this incredible show with all the people that inspired me to do this, and I just won 2018 Mae Young Classic, and that's been my goal for so long, and it's all just completely surreal to me right now. I don't know what my life is.
Right. I mean, you're at the first ever all-women's pay-per-view, seeing women that inspired you to do what you love. And now there's another generation now looking up to you saying, I want to be just like Toni Storm. How does that feel?
Oh, my, it's just so crazy. And tomorrow I'm going to wake up and this is all just going to be a dream, I'm sure. But right now I'm just going to enjoy this moment because this is my dream and I'm living it.
But can we talk about tomorrow? What's next for NXT UK?
Well, for a while now, it's been my goal to become the new NXT UK Women's Champion. And, well, now that I've just won the Mae Young Classic, I feel like I can take it one step further and do that.
Congratulations. Enjoy this moment. You deserve it.
Thank you so much.